Chapter 1. Good thing is you will beat the Methodists to the restaurant on Mother's Day because we're going to start early. Lord willing, we'll end early. And that's not a bad thing. I do have a poem for you, so at some point I will read that. We're going to look at Hannah's example for all mothers. If you'll look at chapter 1, verse 2. Talk about Elkanah. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. Name of the other, Peniah. Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of his city yearly to worship the sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. That's the north side of Bethel. That's where the temple location was at the time. And the two sons, Eli and Hophni, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord were there. And Hophni and Phinehas were not good examples. Eli basically let them do what they wanted to do, unfortunately. Samuel's going to come into that situation. Verse 4, when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peniah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions that they're going to offer to the Lord. And unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when he went up to the house of the Lord, so she, this is Peniah, provoked her, Hannah. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Listen, I'm going to tell you, husbands, sometimes we're really dumb. That is a dumb statement. She doesn't have children. She wants children. You're not going to satisfy her with telling her how great you are. Verse 9, so Hannah rose up after they'd eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow. Now, here's what I will tell you. She's going to vow a vow to give the child to the Lord. She only vowed the vow once she had gone through the problem of not having children. So sometimes things will happen in your life and you'll wonder, why did they happen? Well, it's because you need to have something in your life that's fixed, changed, or something needs to go on. And here she's vowing a vow in verse 11, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. He was going to have a Nazaritic vow, be a Nazarite. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth and so on. And we'll stop there. But I want you to just remember that story. And some of you probably know she did then have a child. His name was Samuel. Samuel, one of the greatest prophets of Israel, goes and lives there in the temple, and he has the example of two wicked young men that God eventually kills. And the Lord speaks to him, but he doesn't know it's the Lord. And yet you'll see that Samuel, even with those influences, he turns out right. Now, why do I think he turned out right? Why should you think he turned out right? I believe it's because of his mother. She didn't have him a long time, but she impressed upon him a godly living that made a difference for the rest of his life, and that's why we have the character Samuel in the Bible. When we celebrate Mother's Day, I want you to turn to Proverbs 31. It contains Solomon's words in that psalm, in that proverb, about his mother Bathsheba and her influence on his life. Bathsheba's marriage to David started off wrong, but God blessed her with the wisest son that ever lived. Here's the lesson I want to give you this morning that I wrote out so that I would not forget to give it to you. Good outcomes can come from bad beginnings to those who never throw in the towel. Good outcomes can come from bad beginnings. This is Bathsheba, committed adultery with David. David killed Uriah, her husband, married Bathsheba. They had a child. The child died, but they also had Solomon. That's a gracious God. And that's what we need to realize, that you don't have to be perfect for God to bless you. I always say God should, God will, God does bless you, bless me, in spite of myself. Doesn't mean you play fast and loose with the things of God and do as you please. It just means that God can bless you regardless of exactly what's going on in your life. However, it may come to a point where God says enough's enough, and He's got to get your attention. Today's Mother's Day. Let us remember the invaluable contributions and sacrifices that mothers make in our lives. The wise words of Solomon in Proverbs 31, if you look in verse 25, they serve as a beautiful reminder of the many virtues a godly mother can possess. Verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. Wow, that's pretty good right there. Now, we're already 25 verses in, but... And she shall rejoice in time to come. That's good. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Boy, I tell you, I like a woman that's kind. I don't mind men that are kind. Men... But women have an empathy that men generally lack, and women can help men become more empathetic. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. You ought to stay busy, ladies. Her children arise up and call her blessed. What do your children call you? Never mind, sorry. Just kidding. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. By the way, if your children don't call you good things, it may just be because you're doing some things right, too. Just because you don't get their accolades doesn't mean that you're not doing something right. Many daughters, verse 29, have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You ought to take a moment to reflect on the strength and resilience of mothers. I was at a red light, and I made a right-hand turn, and I cut this guy off. I had a trailer behind me, and you know, sometimes you're not thinking, and at the last second, the guy says, oh no, it's to the right. And so I made the right, and the guy was sitting there, and he wanted to make a right, and I sort of cut him off, and he's got this big truck. I start going down there, and there's another red light coming up, and this guy in this big truck, he wants to get beside me and tell me how great I am, tell me I'm number one. And so he's driving along, and you know, he makes some type of gesture, I'm sure, but he's looking over at me, and then he runs the red light, and he T-bones this car. And as he T-bones this car, I'm sitting there at the red light now, and you know, he's just gone past us, run the red light, and I remember watching that mom jump out of that car and go to that back seat and grab that baby in her arms. It was a witness to what motherly instinct truly is. You think about abortions, and what are abortions now? Abortions are, you know, basically saying, God, you don't matter. Abortion is unnatural, but they are being brainwashed into the abortion by saying it's not a child. The Bible says you are with child or great with child. It never says you're with an embryo or a fetus and you're great with a fetus. It talks about it and says it's a child. It's unnatural for a young lady to have an abortion. She has to be convinced and brainwashed and manipulated into thinking that it's not a child. When they show them the ultrasounds, which they do in these pro-life places, that they come and they abortionists don't like it. Because it shows that, look, inside there, that's a baby and that's a heartbeat and those are fingers and hands and feet and a head and sucking the thumb and feels pain. And they see all that and they say, I don't want an abortion. Because they realize it's a child in that womb and that motherly instinct comes alive. Take a moment to be reminded of the wisdom and kindness of mothers. They share their nurturing naturally to their own children and also to the children of others. I want to say, mothers, your love and devotion knows no bounds. Your influence leaves a lasting impact on the lives of all children. I know that mothers have made a big impact. Now, my father made a big impact in my life too. But Father's Day isn't today, men. As we celebrate Mother's Day, let us not only honor our own mothers, but also remember the countless mothers who've come before us, paving the way for future generations. Let us express our gratitude for their love and their wisdom, their strength bestowed upon us. Let us commit to cherishing and supporting mothers in our lives, even those with grown children or no children at all, the mother figures. So I told you I wrote a poem, so I'll read you my poem. It's called A Mother's Sacred Virtues. Now, you remember, some of you, that I lost my mom 2 years ago on Mother's Day morning. I got a call right before I preached and said, hey, mom's passed. Now, I'm not going to make that event mess up Mother's Day. And I'm not going to let it mess up Mother's Day for all of you. You know, we sometimes do that. Well, you know, so-and-so died at Christmas time, and therefore it's a very hard time. I get that if that's what you want it to do. But you have to be stronger than that for other people, not just for yourself. But here's the poem. It starts out with a mother's this and this in each stanza. And like I said, I've rewritten it 40 times, just how I do. A mother's love, true gift from God, pathways high and low she's trod. Through storms and tempests too, her tender love each day anew. A mother's touch, a sacred balm, soothing words when hearts alarm. Her gentle way that heals and mends, with every moment her love extends. A mother's arms, a refuge true, in her embrace God's grace shines through. A fortress strong, shields from strife, with steadfast grip she shapes a life. A mother's kiss, such tender grace, a loving gesture with warm embrace. Like a whisper soft upon the cheek, in every trial God's strength we seek. A mother's heart, a well of love, a treasure sent from far above. In her care God's path we find, with love and guidance by His design. A mother's wisdom guides the light, in times of darkness shines so bright. A gentle word, a knowing glance, her course leaves none to chance. To mothers all we raise a toast, your stamina we treasure most. Well, that's an understatement. No matter if we're near or far, your love shines like Bethlehem's star. I'm not a poet, but I've just been dabbling in it since Memorial Day, so that one didn't get published, but I am publishing one for Father's Day because Memorial Day and Mother's Day is the same month in the paper. So I may look at next year and put that in the paper. But I'll give it to him. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 30. Hannah, as a model mother from the Bible, she had sorrow, but she had faith. She was barren, and she longed for a child. That parallels what happened with Rachel. In Genesis 30, verse 1, the Bible explains Rachel, but you can think about Hannah in the same way. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, "Give me children, or else I die." Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in God's stead who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?" See, people can't understand, how come I don't have children? We didn't have any children. We adopted both of ours. We did something called Dupo-Lupron and stopped Judy's cycle. She had endometriosis and really had a very hard time during her cycle. And went to the doctor. They did that. She got pregnant, but because of the endometriosis, she wasn't able to carry to term. We lost the child. I knew we were supposed to adopt. So when I was in the hospital and Judy just had the miscarriage, I'm in the hospital, the preacher comes and visits, and I tell him, "Look," he says, "Man, I'm so sorry." And you know, he's very emotional. I'm sorry, I don't do that. I don't think God makes mistakes. So if I come in and you're having the most terrible day you've ever had, I might not droop my face to the floor for you. It's not because I don't care. It's not because I don't understand. It's not because I don't empathize, although I don't empathize as good as my wife and women in general. I'm a biological male. I identify as one. But I told the preacher, I said, "This isn't God's first mistake. We're going to adopt." I knew in the hospital with her having a miscarriage that we were going to adopt. We started the process, and then these people came through the mission, and they had two children. She was supposedly pregnant. We're supposed to adopt the newborn. When it's born, they leave. She doesn't have the baby. You know, whether she was ever pregnant, I don't know. She lost the baby, whatever. And they call back and say, "Would you adopt these two wild and hellions?" Because that's what they were. And I said, "We'll meet." So we. Trust in Him at all times. You say, "Well, I've got something in my life that I can't seem to overcome. I can't." Yes, you can. Trust in God. It's not working out the way I want it to work out. Trust in God. God is never going to be as fast as you think He ought to be. In very few situations will you find that God's in a hurry. But it can work out, if God so wills for it to work out. And you can actually see the miraculous nature of God if you get out of the way and let God work. We don't get to do that very often because we want to handle it our way. We want to get involved. We want to force the situation. We want to manipulate the situation. We want to force God's hand. You never force God's hand. And another thing is the importance of faith and trust in God for mothers. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct thy paths." He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. How much? All. What does all mean? Sorry, you don't need to change that one. All means all. Trust in God and the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Then what does He do? He directs your paths. You know what I want God to do? I want God to direct my path. Every day and in every way. Hannah's prayer and her vow in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Righteous women too. It's not a sexist thing. It's just that when you look in the Bible, it says man, and very many times it means both sexes. In this case, it does. The effectual, fervent prayer of each of us makes a big difference. Talks about the vow to dedicate her child. The Bible talks about it in Ecclesiastes 5:4. It says, when you vow, you make sure you do your vow. Look at Proverbs 22. Most of you know this verse, but I want you to look at it. The other thing is the importance of prayer and dedicating our children to God. That's something we need to do here. I don't think we've had a baby dedication. Probably need to do that. Dedicate the child to the Lord doesn't mean we're not going to baptize the child, because sprinkling's not baptism, by the way. Number one. Number two, it doesn't wash away original sins. We don't want any confusion about that. But it's the commitment of the parents, grandparents, and whoever it is to raise that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because Proverbs 22, verse 6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Can the child go astray during a certain period of time? Yes, but when they're older, they come back to what they knew, the bearings that they had. I went to church until I was fourth grade. Then we moved from Suitland, Maryland to New Cumberland, Pennsylvania. When we made that move, we didn't go to church. We didn't want to go to church. But I was in a Baptist church. I remember learning the books of the Bible. I remember when somebody wanted me to get baptized to get saved in 1980, when God was dealing with me about salvation, I said, no, I don't think so. And I ended up asking another guy, and he says, yeah, come to church with me. Went to church here in Niceville, 1980, and on July 6th, in an apartment somewhere around here, I accepted Christ as my Savior. Why? Because I believe that training up as a child came back to me, and I instinctively knew that it wasn't works. It was salvation by grace through faith. Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. I instinctively knew. Instinctively how? Because when they trained me up, I learned that. When I was older, it came back to me. God remembered Hannah and answered her prayer. Psalm 65:2 says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. God hears your prayers. You know, I was studying Daniel the other day, and the Bible says that, 21 days, the angel was hindered from coming and giving the answer to Daniel. 3 weeks. Why? Because there's a spiritual battle going on that we know nothing about. There's a spiritual battle that you can't see, that the devil fights and all of his minions fight. And then there's this, you look at the people on earth, you say, well, my problem's down here. Your problem's not on this earth. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. Listen, there are some powerful people that are just being manipulated. And their power only comes from that above, and they're being manipulated and used, and whenever the devil's done with them, he just flicks them out of the way and says, I'm finished with you. Happens to a lot of rock stars and movie stars. He just says, enough's enough. Look at Psalm 127. The birth of Samuel was a blessing from the Lord. Psalm 127, verse 3, what a tremendous verse. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Boy, I think of that adoption thing again. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. What's it called? Called fruit of the womb. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. He says, the quiver full. Happy is the man. Well, not when he's paying the dentist bill, though. or the doctor bill. Look at James chapter 1. Another thing we ought to recognize and celebrate the blessings God bestows on mothers. James 1:17, what does the Bible say? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. You know what a child is? It's a good and perfect gift from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from Him. He's the one that gives us that. Hannah fulfilled her vow. Samuel served God under the guidance of Eli the priest. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Remember I told you that, you know, Samuel was being raised by Eli, who had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they were terrible, terrible examples. You can imagine the influence that they might have been on Samuel. They say, hey, come on, let's go break the rules. Let's go do this. Let's go sneak out. Let's go, burn wicked incense before the Lord. Let's break the laws of God. Samuel's influence because of his mother, I believe, father too, but his mother's the one that's really mentioned. And they, I had more than one wife, not the greatest thing I can imagine. But that's the way it was in those times. God allowed it. So he has more than one wife. Yeah, he loves Hannah, and but she is the predominant influence. By the way, mothers are the predominant influence in the children's lives. Raise boys to be boys so they'll become men. Raise girls to be girls so they'll become young ladies. Does that mean you can't have a tomboy? Have a tomboy. Have two of them. Have three of them. But always have that tenderness there. Always. And with boys too, have some tenderness. Yeah, I think the reason we're such jerks sometimes is we don't have enough tenderness. Make them hug you, give you a kiss goodnight. 1 Samuel 3:19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even unto Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. What a tremendous truth. Here's a young man being raised in an environment that has produced two wicked young boys, or men as they got older. Eli doesn't really know what he's doing, it seems, as a father. And yet he's got Samuel there, and God, looks at that and says, that mother vowed that child there, and it was all in my will. I closed the womb. She got serious about praying, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed. And she said, God, if you'll do this, I'll do this. By the way, if you make a vow, you ought to keep it. You ought to keep it. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Here's the importance of fulfilling promises and raising children in the ways of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6:6. The Bible says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. When should you talk about the things of God? All the time. Look at what it says there. Diligently teach them. When you're talking, when you're sitting, when you're walking, when you lie down, and when you rise up. There's not much else you got in life but besides all that. Verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It makes a difference. The Word of God is pure. It makes a difference. It's the Word of God that'll change a child's life and make that child into what that child needs. Influence on Samuel, he turned out well. And by the way, that's the way it goes in life. You can have children, and those children can, you know, all of them can turn out bad, no matter how much you try, no matter how hard you work, no matter how much you dedicate. But you don't give up and you don't quit. You keep working at it. Bringing this in for a landing, I want you to turn to Titus chapter 2. The legacy of Hannah as a great mother was like Sarah. In Hebrews 11:11, it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You know what Sarah's child was all about? She judged God faithful. She had a child in her elder years. So where is your focus? Is it all inward or is it upward? Do you focus on self or do you focus on God? It says Sarah had a child because she gauged God faithful. I want to encourage all of you mothers to follow Hannah's example of faith and prayer and dedication. Titus 2:3, this is what we're missing and why church is so important. The aged women likewise, Titus 2:3, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Do you know what? If you're a teacher of good thing, one thing you've got to have is students. That they may teach the young women to be sober, serious, to love their husbands. Do you know that you can teach love? Love is a choice. You know what the world says, love's an emotion. Oh, I just love that boy. Oh, just want to marry him. Oh, no. Love is a choice. That's why husbands are told three times, husbands, love your wives. Why? Because it's a choice. So I don't love her anymore. And by the way, I've been told this. Not in this church. Guy comes up and he says, well, I don't love her. We probably never would have been married. We were so different, but, you know, I think she got pregnant or something. And, you know, so we ended up, and he divorced her and married somebody else. And he justified it and tried to justify it to me. Now, I'm gracious. I just looked at him and said, you're wicked. I did. Because he's sitting there saying, I would have never married her if it wasn't for, and I said, well, then you need to stay married for the children. Why? Love. Husbands, love your wives, love your family, love each other. Teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Can you be taught to love your children? Yes. What are we missing today? People aren't teaching that. You know what love is? For God so loved the world that He gave. What is love? In just its base concept, it's giving of yourself. You want something and you forego it for the good of somebody else, that's a conveyance of love. Love each other. Everybody in this church, you ought to love one another. How do you do that? Put others before yourself. That's what you do. Verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's the finishing out of Titus 2, verse 5. Look at Ephesians 6. The last point, celebrating and honoring all mothers on this special day. Children are told in Ephesians 6, 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So it's not the first commandment, it's the first one that has a promise with it. What's the promise? It tells you. Verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You know why it's not well with a lot of young people? They don't honor their mother and father. There are some lives cut short because they don't honor their mother and father. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, parentheses, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. You want to live a long life? Honor your mother and father. You want to be glad you're living a long life? See, I'm now on this far end. I hurt a lot more than I ever have in the last couple of weeks. I started walking. I think that's starting to help me. I'd gotten out of shape for a couple of months now and been doing I went to Washington, D.C. Oh my goodness. We did 12,000 steps and I didn't have insoles in my shoes and couldn't stop to go get any because we were so busy. And so I came back and I said, that's it. I've been doing a 5K ever since. You know, I get up, I'm walking today. Lord willing, in the heat of the day, you'll see me leave here. I walk all the way down to the park down there, which is 1.65 miles, and then I'll 1.55, and I'll walk back, and that's 3.1 miles. 8,000 steps. My little leg's 8,250 probably. But I only get credit for 8,000. You big guys, man, you take those big steps and you get credit for those small steps. All right. Honor your father and mother. You can live a long life. I'm glad I honored my father and mother. I did. Listen, when I was growing up, I lived to please, especially my dad. It's what I was. I got saved at 20 years old, and then something, you know, he really wasn't quite on board. He is 100% on board now. He saved himself 2 years ago. And but I lived to please him, and then I got saved, and because of that upbringing, I lived to please God, my Heavenly Father. So you instill that in your children, that they should honor their mother and father, that they should be pleasing to them. And then when they realize the true relationship you've built for them and they honor Him first, and then everything else works out. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your many blessings. Thank You for sending Your Son to die on that cruel cross for our sins. I pray, Lord, that You would take each lady here, mother or mother figure, and just bless them in a mighty way, a special way, and help them to have it as today is their day, Mother's Day. I thank You for all You do. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. With your head bowed and eyes closed, God's spoken in some way. Do what God tells you to do. You can get with Him alone right where you are. He'll speak to you. He'll answer your prayer. You got something on your heart you need God to give special attention to? Talk to Him right now. Right now.